What on earth was that? What are you trying to say there? What on earth are you doing, Rahim? Okay. That is, of course, today's sound.
Indeed. Indeed. Yes.
The schwa.
Schwa.
Schwa. Yes. It's a fundamental sound for English speakers, as we know. So we shall be covering that today and talking everything about schwa. See ya.
Indeed. Indeed.
See ya later, alligator.
Yes, the famous one. See you later, alligator. Exactly.
And then we've also got some other fun stuff that we're covering today. Huh? Mm-hmm. Some interesting idioms.
Indeed, we do. We also have the word of the week.
Yeah, a couple of words, actually.
Yeah.
Word goblins.
Yes, word goblins. I love that word, goblins. Yes, it's a lovely word. Tongue twisters.
Yes, we should have a little bit of fun with that. You've got a tongue twister for me today, haven't you?
I do. I've been working hard on it. Hopefully I get it right.
All right, so let's start then.
Name that sound.
Name that sound.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
All right. I'm Roger.
And I'm Raheem.
Welcome to our podcast. This is the English Phonetics Podcast. Let's start with name that sound.
Okay.
So get your ears ready. Today's challenge involves deciphering an intriguing sound. Are you ready?
Okay. Here I go. I'm feline. Good. Because our first sound prowls in like a contented kitty on a sunlit afternoon. Wow. Very poetic, Roger.
Okay, yes. Did we hear it? Yes. I don't know.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Cue the sound. It worked.
Yes, okay. Unmistakable sound, really. I think certainly if you've spent some lazy Sunday afternoons in bed, maybe you have one of these around and you've probably heard it quite a lot.
Indeed, indeed. I have one too.
Yes, me too. We both have one.
Yes, we do.
I have a black and white one.
I have a grey and white one.
A grey and white one.
Indeed.
Okay, what colour do you have, listeners? Not talking to you, Rahim.
No, no.
talking to our friends listening to us. yes. Right. Anybody got that? You should all have got that.
I'm sure they did. Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Absolutely. It's a
cat.
Cat. Yes, of course. Pussy cat.
Well, that's another way of saying it. A pussy cat, indeed.
Yeah, certainly mine certainly as soon as I start stroking her, she starts purring away.
Oh yeah, mine's the same. She's a very sociable cat, my one.
She loves attention.
She loves love, and she purrs it as soon as you look at her. She starts purring. Yeah, that was a nice purr, actually. I like that one. Might use that as a soundbite.
That's a good one. You've been purring before.
I have. In my pastime, I do purr a lot.
Okay. Yes. I'm not sure we should go into that in this podcast.
No, anyway, it's true. That's for another time.
That's for another time. Yeah, maybe a future episode. So stay tuned, listeners.
Indeed, indeed. And we are now entering the phenomenal phoneme. And now we are entering the phenomenal phoneme.
You sound like somebody from a television series in the 70s.
I try my best.
That really sounds good. I like that though. Yes. The phenomenal phenomenal phoneme we have for this week, as you probably heard from the introduction, is the schwa.
Schwa. I just love doing that. I really do. I mean, it's designed for it, that sound. Anyway, yes, the schwa.
Yeah, we hear it in a lot of places. Let's go through a few examples. We've got the letter A, often pronounced
Like I was doing before, indeed. And we have the word the. The.
Shower. A shower.
About. About.
Famous.
Support. Support.
Taken. Taken.
Leopard. Leopard.
Agent.
Custom. Custom.
Listen to him, eh? He's going well, yeah. Cousin. Did you do custom? Yeah, you did custom.
Cousin. System. System.
And do we have a sentence with all those words, Raheem?
Oh, Lord. I have to make a sentence out of all these words. Okay, let's see how I do. Try leopard, the famous agent taken in a shower, supports cousin and custom system. Well, that really made sense, didn't it?
Absolutely not, no.
Terrible.
Yes.
But at least I used all the words.
You did indeed. Mm-hmm. You did indeed. In fact, it's worth trying these out. You'll find it in either the description down below or in on our website. So find the link in the description, certainly to our website, so you'll see the words and you can try pronouncing them yourselves. So what can we say about the schwa here, Raheem?
Well, let's see. About the schwa, well, it's the most common vowel sound in English.
It certainly is. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. It hides, doesn't it? It's very difficult to sort of hear it sometimes, but it's there almost, well, pretty regularly, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It hides in plain sight. There we go. Actually, that's going to come onto one of our words that we've got later on.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, exciting times.
Hiding. Plain sight, yes. yes, it's also termed, called, the lazy sound, the lazy vowel. Mm. Basically because it's very light. It's not really pronounced very strongly. It's not like
No, not at all.
Just falls off the end of words.
It's like it gets lost in the crowd, in other words. Yeah.
It's hidden in the crowd. It is camouflaged.
Oh, good.
We'll get there later.
We will definitely get there later.
Yes. The problem with the schwa sound, though, as we know, Raheem, with our students, is that it's quite often, if you don't pronounce it or you pronounce it incorrectly, it can change the meanings of words. So, for example, read and read with the end. Yeah, yeah, two exactly. Completely different words.
Absolutely. Like butter. And, you know, that one is definitely one that is always pronounced incorrectly.
Don't say but, Raheem. But. It just makes me laugh. That's not but as in a conjunction. I was thinking but as in...
That's the way your mind goes, Roger, isn't it?
yes, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah, what else can we say about the schwa? It actually appears in a number of different languages as well, and is certainly in a lot of different sort of accents, English accents around the world. American, Southern American, actually, accent, you hear it more pronounced as a as opposed to an
Yeah, it's a bit more airy.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So we've got an example to listen to. The word is Atlanta, I would pronounce it Atlanta.
Atlanta. Maybe they would say Atlanta, something like this. But anyway, let's listen to the soundbite.
I was driving through the center of Atlanta.
Yeah, that sounded a bit different, didn't it?
Indeed. Well, there you go. Moving on to the next sound. So I believe it's a or a eh sound. The Australian English. In some Australian accents, words like better or letter, the schwa might sound closer to b, t, or even l, t. Let's play the example.
Helen picked a good spot near the water and spent the morning surfing and relaxing in the sun.
As you can see from that example, water. Water, exactly. That's how I would pronounce water.
Water, yes. I would say water. But yeah, there we heard it a little bit differently,
absolutely,
didn't we?
Absolutely, yes, indeed.
And then you lived in this part of London, didn't you, Raheem?
I did. The southeast of London, indeed. Yes, southeast I did. London. Cockney. Yes.
Cockney English, yes. Does anybody out there listening to us understand Cockney English when they hear it?
Indeed. In fact, it's Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah, that's it, yes.
Oof. If you've never been there, if you've not experienced it, you will have no idea what these people are saying. Absolutely not. Absolutely. But I'm sure we'll deal with that in another podcast. I'm sure of it.
That sounds like an excellent part of another podcast there, Raheem. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely, indeed.
So let's have a listen to the Cockney rhyming slang here. Actually the pronunciation.
Yeah, we're more focusing on the pronunciation on this one here. Okay, here we go.
And when she was a girl, there was no national elf.
Oh yeah, no national elf, no schools, no national nothing.
As you see, guys, different accents, all English speaking. Okay, next.
Which is why we're doing this podcast.
Well,
isn't
yes,
it,
indeed,
really?
Yes.
There's such variety in pronunciation, in the sounds that we make in English, let alone in other languages as well. So I mean, it's and in English, because there's so many different spellings to do with the sounds as well. I mean, it's crazy, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is difficult to. I mean, you could be a grade A student in an English class in your country, and then you go to London, and then you experience all these different kinds of accents, not just the London accent, because there are so many different types of accents in London itself. But if you go north, go to Yorkshire or Northern England, or even go to Scotland, my goodness me. My partner, she lived in London for 10 years. Now, you can imagine, her English is very, very good. But when a Scottish
she's not mother tongue.
No,
English.
She's not mother tongue. No, absolutely. Thank you for that. She's actually originally Italian, and she lived in London for 10 years. And when a Scottish person speaks to her, she has no idea they're even speaking English. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think we shall be talking about some of those things in the future,
absolutely.
I imagine. I've got some stories there to tell as well. So.
Good.
let's come back to the schwa. One of the problems, as we know, pronunciation in English is the difference between spelling and the sounds. Mm-hmm. And the schwa is no different, is it, Raheem?
Not at all. Let me give you an example. The letter A, okay, so A, we're going to use a word, adapt, ago, alarm for us.
Yeah, well, at the beginning of those words, they're all spelt with an A, the pronunciation A. But we can also have the A spelt as an E, the letter E, as in algebra, algebra, blanket. Camel.
Fantastic, exactly. Another one, I, example, accident, accident, or animal, cousin, there you go.
Yes, another vowel sound, the O, astronaut, spelt with an O though, astronaut, but pronunciation is obviously with a schwa. Bottom.
Again with your mind, Roger. Oh dear. Bottom indeed. Okay, going on to another vowel sound. Album, the U. Album. Campus. Facility.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, there we go.
Facility.
Campus.
Then as if the five vowel sounds weren't enough, we do actually have another vowel sound in English.
Indeed,
often, which is the Y. Mm-hmm. The Y. Analysis.
Exactly.
Catalyst. Yes, all spelt with a Y.
Another one, syringe, or Pennsylvania.
Yes, all the Y sounds. So, if that doesn't confuse you, then nothing will.
We do try our best, indeed. The schwa.
Schwa.
I had to do it one more time, guys. Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Word of the week, guys.
Word of the week.
Word of the week. Roll up. Word of the week. Indeed. Right. What is the word of the week? Right. I've got a word for you. Alphabet. Interesting word.
That's a good place to start, I think.
I suppose. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, the alphabet. That is my word of the week. Cornerstone of the language is alphabet, simply.
How do we spell that? Because it's a bit...
Well, of course, pronunciation. Absolutely. Alphabet is spelt A-L-P-H-A-B-E-T. There we go. Alphabet. That's how it's pronounced.
I recognize there's another sound in there that we've been talking about today.
Yes, there is. Sneaky schwa, isn't it? The sneaky schwa, indeed. Right. With the emphasis on the first syllable, A or A. A for alphabet. Okay, let's go into some random information. Not random information, but I suppose it's good to know this kind of stuff.
Some interesting stuff about the word, yes. We want to go into a little bit behind the word.
Let's go to the historical significance, for example. Right. The concept of the alphabet has ancient roots dating back to around 2000 BCE in ancient Egypt, believe it or not, where early hieroglyphs represented consonants. There we go.
Yes, BCE is the sort of more modern version of BC.
Indeed.
BC being before Christ. People preferring BCE before the current era.
Wonderful. That was news to me, actually. I'm an old school person. I would have definitely used the AD and BC. But BCE, okay, thank you for that. What else
here
do I
help,
have?
Raheem.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Roger. What else do I have to give? Let me see. The cultural impact, for example. The introduction of the alphabet revolutionized written communication. It allows for greater accessibility to literacy and played a crucial role in the development of various cultures and civilizations. There you go.
Well, what would we do without an alphabet?
Well, there we go. We're still living in the mud. That's what I think. It's a bit extreme, but well.
So you're not a particular fan of the alphabet, then, if you want to still be living in the mud?
I don't want to be still living in the mud.
You don't want to be,
No. If we didn't have the alphabet, we were still living in the mud with mud huts, etc. This is what I think. Communication is key. And when it comes to written communication, there we go. We're taking it up a next level. What else do I have for you? Let me see something. Oh, gosh, here we go. Mnemonic devices. Okay, for those word geeks, mnemonic actually has a silent M in the beginning. M-N-E-M-O-N-I-C. Mnemonic. Mnemonic devices. So, the alphabet has inspired various mnemonic devices and acronyms to aid memory, such as using A, B, C, D, E, F, G, in that sort of song and that rhyming way, to remember the sequence of letters.
Sing the song. Sing the song.
You really want me to, don't you?
Yes.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And that'll do. I'm not going to go all that.
Going back to our childhood days then.
Exactly. Everyone's switching off the podcast at that moment in time. They're, oh, God, what's going on here? Right. So where was I? Yes. Letters or creating acronyms like, let me think, an acronym. ASAP.
ASAP, exactly. Yeah, exactly. BBC.
BBC.
The British Broadcasting Corporation.
There you go. Very British indeed. VIP. Very important person.
Indeed. I think that should be very important people as we
well, yes, I suppose. We're talking to the audience. VIPs. Indeed. What else do I have? Let me think. Let's end it on the symbolic significance of the alphabet. The alphabet represents more than just letters. It symbolizes the power of language, education, and the transmission of knowledge across generations. There you go. Alphabet, powerful.
From when books started being used, writing down, well,
the written back, word.
The written word in the tablets, in rocks,
that's
in,
good
in
point,
stone
yeah.
and what have you.
Tapping I away, mean, yeah,
it wasn't,
exactly.
It wasn't the alphabet, but that's how we got it, I suppose. We developed into it.
Exactly.
Maybe I should do some more research on that. I don't know.
I think we should, maybe for another podcast, actually. It sounds like a very interesting, an interesting area to delve into. So
certainly how we get our current alphabet. I mean, why are you right? Because, I mean, when I first came to Italy, if you see any Italian cursive writing,
yeah,
it's, for me, it's almost illegible. You know, I mean, I write cursive writing. I mean, the R's change a little bit and the S's maybe and what have you. But when you see the Italian cursive writing, it's, wow, it's completely different.
I know. Marking some exams is terrible.
Yes. I don't know. What is your cursive? Cursive is where joined up writing, where you're connecting all the letters together as you're writing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So an A is not straight lines anymore. It becomes all curves and
squiggles.
Yes.
That's another good word. Squiggles.
Yes. Question for you, Ryan.
Yes.
Do you think doctors use the English alphabet when they're writing?
Absolutely not. It's another language, and it's a very common. I think also in Italy, nobody can read doctors' writing. It's just a squiggle. There you go. Using that word again. Squiggle.
Squiggle. Yes. I think it's doctors all over the world, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you ever read what a doctor's written and understood it?
I haven't.
I'm talking to our listeners here. Yeah. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you understand it at the end of the day.
Well, someone has to understand it. I mean, the pharmacist, for example. I mean, how do they know what drugs to give us? This is what I worry. You know, so if you can't read the doctor's writing, they're just going to hand you any old pill. I mean, come on, no.
Can I hand you something that, well, yes, can you imagine?
I don't want to.
Yes, you need to go in for constipation tablets and you get the opposite.
Oh dear.
We're coming back to the butt and the bottom.
Indeed. Always Roger, in the dirt, exactly.
Right, let's
move on swiftly. And Roger, you have a word of the week for us, don't you?
Yeah, I hinted it. In fact, we actually said it earlier in the podcast, didn't we? Where the schwa hides, it's camouflage.
Ooh, I love that word. Camouflage.
Yes, say that, camouflage. C-A-M-O-U-F-L-A-G-E, but with very different pronunciation. And of course, our friend the schwa in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
Camouflage. Yes, it comes from, as it probably sounds when you pronounce it, it comes from the French word.
Camouflage.
Camouflage, which means to disguise. Apparently first used during the World War I, when military tactics were becoming ever more present, ever more important, and being able to blend into the environment, blend into the background so that you couldn't be seen, whether that was in person or the ships, the tanks, what have you. So
they actually use camouflage not just on humans, but actually on their machinery, their weapons.
Yeah. Everything gets camouflage.
Okay.
Even ships have camouflage. They do this sort of mixture of, I've seen sort of grey, white, black, all these sort of sweeps and shapes to make make a big ship look smaller, I guess. I don't know.
Well, possibly.
Maybe somebody can tell us a little bit more about.
Yeah, please do.
Some listeners who have military backgrounds maybe might be able to tell us a little bit more. It's the actual word is used in lots of different ways now, though, isn't it? Not just in military terms, but camouflaging in various contexts, fashion.
Yeah.
Technology, you have.
Yeah. Got the camo print. I've heard that before.
Yes, the camo print. Yeah, short for camouflage. Yes,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, with the idea of blending or hiding in. Mm. I mean, we talked before about the schwa blending, camouflaged in the language.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of very light. It sort of hides in amongst everything else.
Exactly.
The hard sounds and the beefier sounds. Yeah. what else can we say about camouflage? interesting that it's not just necessarily something to look at. It could also be camouflaged in different ways. So take the animal kingdom, for example. Yes, you have camouflage like a chameleon that changes colors to blend into the background or what have you. But mimicry is also a kind of camouflage. So some animals or insects that mimic others, also in sounds as well, is also a kind of camouflage as well, isn't it? Making you seem something that you're not.
Yeah, just coming back with this, the mimicking other creatures or things or whatnot. The stick insect, hence why it's called the stick insect. It camouflages itself, making it look like a piece of stick or a piece of, you know, from the plant itself.
So its shape as well, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching a documentary on octopus as well. I mean, they're fantastic. They're masters of camouflage. And at one point, to evade its predators, it managed to pick up lots and lots of shells and pretend it's like some kind of rock. It was literally sucked all these shells and used it as a sort of armor in respect. And he looked like a rock. And then the predator just sort of went away. Fantastic. Such intelligent creatures. Yes, sorry. Camouflage, yeah. Amazing.
No, octopuses are incredible creatures. They're absolutely amazing. And they also change, not just, their skin changes shape as well. They become sort of like, I don't know how else to describe it, lumpy. Imitate like rocks or coral or whatever.
So not just the color, the actual surface changes as Okay. Yeah.
Any other examples of camouflage that listeners can come up with?
Absolutely. Maybe
you've camouflaged yourself. You can camouflage pretending to write for somebody else. You copy somebody's signature.
Oh, really? Is that a camouflage?
Is that camouflage? Mm. What do you think?
It's more forgery, I think.
Maybe that's not camouflage. Camouflage, fantastic word. Mm. So there's two words we've had for today. Mm-hmm. Camouflage and alphabet. Yeah. Can we come up with a sentence using those two words? What do you think?
Goodness me.
This seems a little bit difficult.
Camouflage and alphabet.
Yes.
Gosh.
The schwa is camouflaged among the alphabet of English. The schwa camouflages itself.
That's it. That's
it. Has lots of different spellings and what have you.
Absolutely. There you go. There you go. Oh.
Okay. Your sentence then?
But yeah, using those two words together, let me think. Alphabet and camouflage. I can't come up with something right now. I'm sorry. Maybe the listeners can.
Yeah. Well, there's a challenge for you.
There's a challenge indeed.
For you all. All right, moving on.
Okay, interesting idioms. It is the idioms part of the podcast.
Idioms. Idioms. Interesting idioms. I don't know what it is about the word idiom, but it always makes me think of idiots.
Yes, it does, actually.
Idiom idiots. Maybe we should... we can't call it a section now, can we?
Or idiots? The idiot section. No.
Idiot idioms.
Idiot idioms.
Yeah.
Idioms for idiots. Okay, we're getting
I think I still prefer interesting idioms, I think.
I think interesting idioms is lovely. Yeah, right. What do we got? What's the first idiom?
The first idiom I've got is face the music. Face the music. So you've got something that you really have to do. Mm-hmm. You really, really, really don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Like studying for the exam, I suppose. You've got to do an exam, an English exam. Oh dear. But you've got to get on with it. You've got to face the music, suck it up, another expression, and just get on and study it. Study or whatever. Yeah.
Indeed. You've got to face the music, indeed. Okay.
It's also when you get into trouble over something, don't you? And you have to own up.
Absolutely. Own up, face the music, you know? Exactly. Absolutely. It's always best to own up and face the music. Better for your head, better for your,
for your well-being.
Well, yes, I mean, many times I've had to face the music when I was younger, especially in school. Yeah, it's always better in the end. But you learn that when you're older.
owning up to your mistakes is essentially what you're talking. You're going to have to face the music. Yes, yeah. There's a few times I've had to do that as well. Mm-mm-mm. Both in work and personal life as well. But yes, let's not go there.
Anyway, moving on to the next idiom. Here we go. Ring a bell. That rings a bell.
Yeah, it does. Ding dong.
Exactly. That rings a bell. So basically, if something sounds familiar, that you kind of, you recall it, you're like, oh, hold on, wait a minute, that rings a bell. And then you come up with the answer, or maybe not. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes when you hear a snippet of music and you're thinking back to a time when you perhaps listened to that, maybe you were dancing to that particular disco music or something, whatever kind of music it is that you listen to.
Whatever that memory was.
Yes. Mm. Oh, that rings a bell. What were you doing? Yes. Where were we? We were, we were diving off the cliffs into the sea or something. I don't know.
You've had a very interesting life, I tell you that. Diving off cliffs into the sea.
Oh, yes, in Menorca, in the Mediterranean.
Oh, I love it. Sounds gorgeous.
Probably also to blow off steam. Mm. Next idiom, blow off steam. Like a kettle boiling and the steam comes out, yeah? Releasing a lot of energy. So you blow off steam, you get like hyper about something. You get really, you get the adrenaline going and what have you. And then once you've finished, you've just got to blow off steam. You've got to get rid of all of that. Mm. Or anger.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like if you get angry or if you get stressed at something, or let's say it's your work environment that's really stressing you out, how do you blow off steam? In fact, that's a good question for our audience, is how do you blow off steam? Let us know. I mean, there are many ways to blow off steam. I mean, example, what's that? I just made that one up. Example. So to blow off steam, what do? I go for a run. You know, a midnight run sometimes. Sometimes I can't get to sleep and I'm feeling anxious about something or angry about something. I'll go for a run to blow off steam. How do you blow off steam? Let us know. That'd be very interesting to know.
Yes, going for a walk, going for a run, something like that. Many people, I think, like hit something, don't they?
There you go. There you go.
As long as it's not another person or another animal.
We don't condone violence. No, we certainly don't. But if it's a punch bag, go for it.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful. To blow off steam. Fantastic.
So, any interesting idioms for our listeners? If you have a relative or a friend, or maybe you yourself, use an idiomatic phrase on a regular basis. Let us know what it is. Type it in the comments.
Yes, very interesting, very interesting. Okay, moving on. Jolly jokes! All right! Let's see.
All right. Rahim, how do you make an egg roll?
I don't know.
You push it.
I've never been a fan of facial hair, but now it's starting to grow on me. Boom, boom.
What do you call a pig who knows how to use a knife? A pork chop.
A pork chop. A minute. What kind of fish knows how to do an appendicitis? Let me try that again. Now that is a dodgy word. Appendectomy. How do you say that, Roger? Help me out, mate.
I'm really enjoying having a good try at that word.
Let's see again.
Appendectomy.
Appendectomy. Thank you very much. What kind of fish knows how to do an appendectomy? A sturgeon. Oh, God.
A surgeon with a T. Mm-mm-mm. How do you hire a horse? You put him up a ladder.
I got that one. Why did the pony ask for a glass of water? Because it was a little horse.
Horse.
Dear, these are terrible. Yes, jolly jokes. Short, sweet, and to the point. If you've got any jolly jokes for us, please share them. Indeed.
Yeah. We want to have a laugh.
Yes, we love a good laugh. Okay. What's next? Word goblins.
Gobble, 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 goblin.
Well, I suppose goblins do
terrible.
Gobble.
That was terrible.
Goblins. I heard the word gobble is actually the sound that a goose makes. Is that right?
Goose. Turkey.
Is it a turkey? Sorry, yes, a turkey. A big bird.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
At least in English we say gobble. That's going to be another interesting episode that we're going to do.
Sound of a turkey. Interesting.
Yeah. All the sounds animals make.
Right, moving on to contronyms.
Contronyms. What is a contronym? A contronym is a word that also has one meaning, but it also has its opposite meaning.
Mm.
So it has two meanings which are opposite to each other. Let's do an example to explain it.
Here we go. Peruse. Peruse. To read carefully. After receiving the lengthy document, she took her time to peruse each page, absorbing the details and nuances of the information presented. Now, it can also mean to scan or glance through. During the bookstore visit, he decided to peruse the shelves quickly, hoping to find a captivating novel that would catch his eye. There we go. Complete opposites.
Yeah, so hopefully when you peruse a legal document, you're reading it carefully and not just scanning quickly through it.
Well, I would hope so too. Yeah. You get into a lot of trouble.
I've got one. Chuffed.
Ooh.
Chuffed. Spelled Chuffed, although pronounced with a T at the end. Anyway, it means pleased or delighted most of the time. Mm-hmm. For example, Sarah was absolutely chuffed when she received the promotion at work. As you would. You'd be very chuffed. But it can also mean the opposite, displeased or annoyed, in particular in regional context. So this is not a general thing, but in some parts of the UK, I think. For example, despite his efforts, James was quite chuffed about not getting the opportunity to lead the project. Okay, chuffed about something. I would normally think it would be happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also mean the opposite, just to confuse you.
Yes, just to confuse you. Another one to confuse you is nonplussed. Nonplussed. Surprised or confused when she divorced the unexpected gift on her desk, she stood there nonplussed, unsure of how to react to the unexpected kindness. There you go, nonplussed. And the other meaning, there we go. Here we go. Unperturbed. What? You always give me the hard words, man. What is going on here?
Unperturbed.
Unperturbed.
You should have just said the other word, unimpressed.
Unimpressed, exactly. Unperturbed or unimpressed. Well, I'd like to give it the whole thing so to the audience. So unperturbed, unimpressed. Despite the unexpected challenge, the seasoned detective remained nonplussed, calmly and analysing the situation and formulating a plan to address the new development. Oh, there you go.
I quite like that word, nonplussed. But I've got an interesting question for you, though.
Yeah.
We've got a prefix on the beginning of the word, nonplussed. So you would imagine the word is plussed.
Mm-hmm.
You add non to it to form nonplussed.
Yeah.
Trouble is, does there such a word as plussed?
Ah, interesting. Is there plussed? What does it mean? What could it mean?
Well, when looking this up, apparently it doesn't mean anything. It's not actually a word that exists, at least not in the English dictionary.
Well, that's unusual, isn't it?
It is, yes. And I thought this was quite odd, so I thought we could come up with some meanings of what we thought plussed would actually mean.
Yeah, the word plus meaning something extra, no? Plus.
Well, if you're non-plussed, it means you're ambivalent, you're unimpressed, so you're not going to worry too much about it. So plussed could mean, hey, you're super excited about it. I'm really plussed about going to the cinema tonight. It's going to be a great film. No, it sounds weird, doesn't it?
I was so plussed about the present she gave me. Plussed.
Yeah. Plussed. You've been plussed up.
Plussed up.
I was thinking video games. I was thinking video games. You've got extra bonus points.
So you've leveled up. You've plussed up. Yeah, I like that. I really like that. I like that a lot. Plussed up. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. What about something else? Plussed.
Well, for some reason, I don't know why it came to me. You get plussed before you get plastered.
Oh, so it's the stage just before you get plastered. So you get tipsy, plussed, and then plastered. I like that.
Plussed. Just a couple of beers, and you're plussed.
Last night I was so plussed.
Yes, it's that feeling of happiness before the. The feeling of, oh, I can't remember what's actually going on.
Yeah, I know that feeling very well.
Right. Got another one here. Mm. Cleave.
Ooh.
Cleave, C-L-E-A-V-E. Mm. To adhere or stick together. Well, actually, let's start with the other one, to split apart, because that's what I would normally associate with cleave. Mm-hmm. With a swift swing of the axe, he managed to cleave the log into two perfect halves, to split or to tear apart. Mm-hmm. But it can actually also mean to stick together. The strong adhesive helped the craftsman's handsaw cleave the pieces of wood together. So you can cleave the wood apart, or you can cleave them back together again. Oh,
it's so confusing, it really is. But I suppose it's to do with the context of the sentence, isn't it? That's how you kind of work it out. Yeah.
Hmm. Learning words in context. How often have we told
our students? Welcome to English.
How often have we said that to our students?
Indeed, indeed. Okay, moving on to another word. Fast. F-A-S-T. Well, you might think you know what it means, but let's have a look. Adjective. Fixed in place. The ship was securely anchored to the dock, held fast by thick chains to ensure it wouldn't drift away. See? Held fast by thick chains. Okay, now we're going to moving on to the adverb, moving quickly, as probably you guessed. The car sped up fast down the highway, zipping past other vehicles with remarkable speed. Fast. There we go.
Mm. Yeah, so running fast. And holding fast.
There we
running
go.
Fast, moving very quickly. Holding fast.
Mm-hmm. Hold fast. Place. Run fast. Run, Forrest, run. Run fast, indeed.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff, indeed.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Some contronyms in the English language. Words that can mean the opposite of the same word.
There we go, guys. Learning something new every day. Right, moving on to... The tongue twister.
Tongue twisters.
Okay, what do we have for you today? So,
well, Rahim, I think you've got one for me this week.
That's right, I do. I'm just racking my brain, getting myself into a zen state.
So, just for those of you that are listening, I haven't actually heard what Rahim's going to tell me, and I'm going to try and say. What he comes up with.
Okay.
If you don't know what a tongue twister is, it's a phrase, several words that are very difficult to pronounce. Okay, because of the sounds that you have to make with the shape and the what have you of your mouth and tongue and what have you. It's called scioglie lingue in Italian.
Oh.
In Spanish, do you know what it is, Rahim?
I do actually. I've been practicing all day. Here we go. Trabalinguas.
Yes, and in Danish, tunga frila.
Oh gosh, that sounded really good.
I hope so. Actually, if anybody can correct us, if our pronunciation is not that good, then please let us know.
Oh, please do, please do. And German, I've got Zungenbrecher.
That sounded good to me.
Thank you, thank you. It sounded German, I have to say.
So go on then, Rahim. Give me a tongue twister. Let's
okay,
see if I can say
go.
This.
The time is now. Here we go. Try to imagine an imaginary menagerie manager managing an imaginary menagerie. Bum, bum, bum. And I got that right.
Try to imagine an imaginary manager.
Nope.
Managing a menagerie.
Almost. So let me slow it down for you. Try to imagine.
Try to imagine.
An imaginary. Menagerie manager.
Ah, okay. Try to imagine an imaginary menagerie manager
managing an imaginary menagerie.
Managing an imaginary menagerie. Goodness me.
It's a difficult one.
Try to imagine an imaginary menagerie manager managing an imaginary menagerie.
Boom, boom!
You got it. That wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad at all, my friend. I have to say, I'm very impressed.
That was hard, though.
It was a difficult one. I thought I'd start with a difficult one.
Yes. I mean, the pronunciation is not too difficult. It's trying to remember the actual words.
Yeah. And then saying it fast. Try and say that after a few pints.
Okay. Yeah, you'll find that one on our website. Go and have a look at the blog for this podcast try that. Try recording yourself, actually.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
With, as we always telling our students, you know, one of the best ways in terms of improving your pronunciation, your speaking skills, is to actually record yourself. So, you know, you'll carry a mobile phone, record yourself, and that's a good one to try out, I would suggest.
Right. What do we have now? I think that's it, isn't it?
I think we've come to the end.
I believe so.
At least for this podcast. Yeah, of course, there's going to be more.
Oh, absolutely. Stay tuned, guys. Indeed. Lots of interesting stuff to come.
Well, we think it's interesting.
Yeah.
And hopefully you find it interesting as well. And certainly if you do, then please, you know, tell your friends, tell your family about it, share it. And leave us a review as well. There are lots of different places on our social media, what have you, to tell us what you think about our podcast. And give us some suggestions.
Absolutely.
Is this something that you find really difficult to understand in English, particularly related to the sounds, to the phonetics, because we are the English Phonetics Podcast, after all.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, we want to help you. This is why we started this podcast. So any suggestions are more than welcome. Absolutely, indeed.
And you just looked at the camera for the second time this whole time, I think.
Really? I'm getting better.
At least as far as I'm noticed. Yeah, we have cameras rolling at the same time. Yeah. So you will find us not just on the audio podcast, the usual Apple and what have you.
Exactly.
You'll also find us on YouTube podcasts as well. So
different platforms, you know,
yes,
to spread the knowledge, to spread the love.
Exactly. Well, I think that's all for today. Anything else to add there, Rahim?
No, I think that's it, my friends. Thank you very much.
Well, it's thank you, everybody, for making it this far. It's goodbye from him.
And it's goodbye from me, too. Oh, I meant him. It's all about me, guys. Of course. See you later, guys. Bye-bye.
Ciao for now.